This is Bob Fetrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1. Hi, this is Bob Fetrakis with WCRS, The Other Side of the News, 98.3, 102.1. I'm in the studio here at WCRS with Jerry Bello, writer and researcher for the Columbus Free Press and thefreepress.org. Jerry, you recently had a piece in Op-Ed News saying that you don't believe that Anonymous hacked the election in 2012. Would you care to elaborate on that, what seems to be a bizarre article that you would have to, in fact, respond and say Anonymous was not involved?
All right. Well, the first fact that would... Well, let's retrace a little bit here. On a website called the velvetrevolution.us, someone published a letter claiming to be from some shadowy hacker group called the Protectors that said that they had interfered with Karl Rove's electronic election theft.
A prophylactic. They're the Protectors.
Yes. Well, I wonder which one of them is wearing the red spandex and which one is wearing the blue Lycra. And for those of you who don't know your way around the internet, when a man who won't identify himself wearing red spandex tells you that he's going to protect you, this is bad. Somehow people seized on this and sort of conflated it, conflated the Protectors with the hacktivist group Anonymous. The most important thing to note, definitely for sure, is Anonymous, as Anonymous, never claimed to have interfered with the election in any way. So now we have to go ahead and then just look at the other claims of the Protectors. I mean, there's no claims made by Anonymous in any of their usual ways. And
well,
in any
let's
usual
stop
places.
You right there. What do you mean by that? That there's no evidence that Anonymous, under the name Anonymous, hacktivist Anonymous, were involved in the election. What evidence do we have of that?
There was nothing on Anon-Ops. There was nothing on their normal websites. The letter from the Protectors was not signed in the normal way that Anonymous signs letters, which is, we are Anonymous, we are Legion, we do not forgive, we do not forget, expect us. Doesn't say that. It's not Anonymous. Anonymous nowhere, no one claiming to be Anonymous, claimed to have anything to do with Karl Rove in any way during the election. A video circulated before the election where people claim that they would attempt to document and or stop any attempted electronic election fraud. But that was it. Nothing else that went nowhere beyond a YouTube video.
Okay. So you're telling me it's not Anonymous as Anonymous. Could the Protectors, another group, have stopped the election from being hacked?
I have no reason to believe that the Protectors did anything but send an email claiming responsibility. Their claims seem to be based around, one, interfering with Karl Rove's Orca software, and two, based around the way that the election was stolen in 2004 with a man in the middle of attack and then a failover response to by moving the count to Chattanooga temporarily, altering the count, and then moving it back to the Secretary of State's website. We have zero evidence that that was even in the works, and the research and the court cases that you and I were both involved in seemed to very strongly suggest that if the election was going to be stolen, it would have been stolen by a very different method.
Well, let's go back to election night and perhaps even pre-election activities. What is ORCA, and why would we be concerned about this well of a thing called ORCA?
ORCA was a program designed to interface with voter registration databases and essentially allow the Republican Party to mobilize their base to get people out to vote. The allegation on top of that, you know, it's get out the vote software. The allegation on top of that was a way of determining that it would also be used to determine who had not yet voted and then sort of vote on their behalf without getting them out to vote, which is wholly unnecessary, actually. When you don't need to vote on people's behalves to increase the vote count when you can just flip votes at the tabulator, which is something that it appears to me they were definitely lined up to do.
Now, let's look at this. This ORCA software, at least in Ohio, at 11 o'clock, at 4 o'clock, and at 6:30, there's the public postings on election day of who's voted and who's not voted. My understanding is ORCA was to give real-time data to the Romney campaign so they could go and get these people out to vote, or maybe more dubious, vote them as if they were cyber votes. In 2004, one of the obvious signs of tampering was the fact that a lot of these areas, Sandusky, Ohio at 130%, a couple precincts in Perry County at 124%, 121%, Gahanna Ward, 1B at, thousands of votes over the total vote count in the precinct, indicated that somebody was tampering and they were going well over the actual allowable eligible voters in that precinct. So, is this anything more? How do we know this is nothing more than simply get out the vote electronics?
We don't know that it's anything more than get out the vote electronics, and there were signs that it wasn't really actually working, and to intervene in the election.
Well, couldn't the protectors have done that, or somebody else claiming to have done it?
A much more likely story is that the software was complicated in that it's got to interface with a number of different machines and different kinds of systems all over the country. It was written in a hurry for a presidential campaign by people that have zero hope of employment after the campaign and therefore no incentive to do a good job. And it was unused and untested before Election Day. Put all those together, and you have a high likelihood that the software was just broken from the start, which is a lot more likely than somebody doing anything to break it. You could easily chalk it up to poor software development, which is why software is tested before it's deployed.
Now, my understanding is that the original claims by the so-called protectors had nothing to do with ORCA. ORCA sort of emerged after the fact by other people claiming if the protectors, locked out Karl Rove, then they took down ORCA.
It was in their original letter. I chose to focus on their claims about deploying a piece of software. They claim to have deployed an ORCA killer and something called the Great Oz, which was supposed to be the curtain that the man's behind, to sort of lock Karl Rove out of his vote-flipping failover servers.
What I'm thinking, maybe they swallowed the legendary speckled Oz of Ozley Acid fame and coming up with these names. These names themselves seem somewhat bizarre.
Yeah, I wouldn't name if... a hacker, a real hacker, would have chosen a name more for their cool toy, more in line with current pop culture. They would have named it after a current character or item in a movie show or a movie or a television show or a video game. Or, you know, this was obviously written by somebody, you know, over 60. I mean, you know, or somebody who's definitely not a young person, not a computer savvy person, not somebody who's internet culture savvy. I mean, it read like somebody trying to pretend to be a hacker without actually having any cultural context to make their lies up.
Okay, now these hacktivists, whoever they are out there, taking on the forces of evil. Part of this speculation started because of what happened on election eve in not only in Ohio, but based in Ohio, the server going down at the Secretary of State's office, the server going down in Cuyahoga County, and Karl Rove having what has been described as a meltdown, pleading with the analyst on Fox News not to call the election for Obama, but to wait till Butler County and Delaware County and Warren County came in. So all of this stuff is happening election night, live. And as a result of that, it seemed like Karl Rove was expecting different numbers than the ones he got. Thus, somebody must have stopped him from hacking the server.
Well, I mean, I agree. Karl Rove did not get what he expected, and I believe that a fix was in that did not happen. I believe that...
And by a fix, you mean he was attempting or expecting the election might be rigged, that when the Secretary of State server goes down in Cuyahoga County, when it comes back up, lo and behold, a miraculous comeback for Romney as it was for Bush in 2004?
Well, let's take a step back and go bit by bit. Definitely Rove expected victory. Definitely.
And so did Romney, right? He didn't have a concession speech.
Right. He didn't have a concession speech. Rove expected victory. Romney expected victory. Definitely, our research showed a number of suspicious things happening in Ohio. Whether or not...
And what do you mean, suspicious?
An illegal software patches put on up to 25 county tabulators, maybe as many as 39. And we still haven't had a look at the other county tabulators, where I suspect we might find a similar piece of software made by a different company. It's just that we have access to one contract and not another contract because of the extreme passive-aggressive tardiness of the Secretary of State's office responding to our records requests. Now, Rove expected something. Was what Rove expected connected to some apparent temporary failure of the Secretary of State's website? Maybe.
Which
maybe
suspiciously
not.
Went down at the exact same time as it had in 2004, around 11:14 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
I mean, I agree with you on this one, that the timing's suspicious, and it's a suspicious coincidence. What I can't sort of reconcile in my mind is that server failure would not be necessary for the votes to just start coming up Romney under this under the rubric of this county tabulator scheme. It would be sort of that server failure is wholly superfluous to what was needed to get the job done.
You're listening to The Other Side of the News, WCRS 98.3, 102.1. This is Bob Fitrakis in the studio with Jerry Bellow, researcher and writer for the Columbus Free Press, who has an article out on Op-Ed News claiming that the protectors weren't working on behalf of Anonymous and they didn't hack the election in order to save it from Karl Rove.
I'll go one step further. They don't exist. They're a person that sent a fake letter to a single website. That's all they are.
But how do we know? I think the claim is they locked Jeff Averbeck or whoever was at this server farm that controlled all of these votes from Ohio, locked him out of his computer and thus saved the election from being hacked. Is that possible?
No. He could just reboot from a CD, same way it happens when my computer crashes on my desk. I mean, my computer doesn't work. I reboot from the CD and I reinstall the operating system and I'm up and running real quick and I restore from a backup. You know, so do you, so does everybody else who takes proper care of their computer. Servers, not that much different. And the whole point of, you know, having a server farm with full-time staff is that if something fails, you can recover really quickly. And it's really, really, it's impossible to take on a server farm that's got a full-time administrator there to do security. If you were planning on doing something as monumentous with your server as stealing a presidential election, I'm pretty sure that you would have done a very rigorous security check at some point and at many points in time leading up to when you were going to change history with this computer. And if something went wrong, I can't believe that any professional would have no ability to quickly recover. It just doesn't pass the smell test at all.
Now, you're claiming, to some extent, the rhetoric of these protectors doesn't match the profile at all. You've also claimed that you have mapped this network connected to Karl Rove and they had redundancy in it. Why is that important?
Well, I mean, when you had me start to look at the ways that the election could get stolen, we went with the last way that it was stolen, and I went and I had a look at SmartTech's network, you know, through publicly available information, and they, you know, they have a duplicate set of backup servers in suburban Atlanta to mirror the ones that they have in their bank vault in Chattanooga. That was one of the first things I determined. You were like, go take a look at SmartTech. So I did. And I said, oh, look, there they are in Atlanta too. You know, there's no mention of that redundancy by the protectors. So, I mean, they didn't even do their homework on who they were pretending to attack, if they even knew how to do that homework, which I doubt they do.
Has there been any feedback on your article at Op-Ed News?
Some people, both at Op-Ed News, I mean, I've gotten a lot of positive feedback. Some people, they really want it to be true. They want heroes. They want, you know, people, they want television show characters, comic book characters with superpowers, you know, which is in line with the protectors, you know, saved by the guy in spandex. And, you know, that's ultimately not not a democratic narrative. You know, democracy, democratic rights are won by all of us, you know, like, you know, it's this, I mean, to a lesser degree, it's the same kind of, it's a pathology that tries to reduce, you know, broad social movements to their, to the personalities of their leaders. But going one step further, it's this idea that, okay, if elections are really wars between hackers, then, like, where's the democracy in that? If it comes down to who, which side's got the best hackers, well then...
Or let the last hack win.
Right, or the last hack win, well, guess what? Then, you know, we're governed by the national security state, pretty much nakedly, because that's who's going to win if elections are about hacking. If elections are about citizen participation and transparency and democracy and civic engagement, well, that's a very different narrative, and then we're in a very different world, and that's the kind of world I want to be in, as opposed to a world of superpowers and spooks and hackers and guys in spandex.
Did you get a hold of the protectors? Have you verified them? Did anyone representing the protectors comment on op-ed news? Is there any evidence that these protectors actually are out there lurking around?
Nope. I mean, they didn't leave a forwarding address, and they didn't leave any contact information anywhere online. I've been quite public, you know, both on op-ed news and within the election integrity movement, that I don't believe this for one second. Nobody claiming to be the protectors has contacted me to prove their case. Nobody's drained my bank account. Nobody has mailed, you know, has mailed my mother stuff from the Home Shopping Network that she didn't want. Nobody's doxed me. Nobody's hacked my computer. Nothing bad has happened to me, and nothing will.
You're confident of this?
Yeah, because they're not hackers and they don't exist. I predict that I am more likely to get brutally beaten by the Easter Bunny than I am to suffer at the hands of the protectors. Because when strange people run up on me in the middle of the night wearing spandex, they get knocked out.
So what do you think's really behind this? Is there some wish that these forces are out there lurking around to come to our aid? Is there some sort of longing for these superheroes?
Well, on one end, and on another end, I mean, there's the old adage of the newspaper business. If it bleeds, it leads. It sells copy. And it makes for a good story. It gets people talking. It gets people reading. It gets people tuning into your website to hope to hear more about, you know, hear more pronouncements from their heroes in the tunnels of the internet or whatever. I mean, you know, it sells, but, you know, it sells because it's fiction.
Or at least massively over aggrandized, like those great heroes of the Wild Wild West, so exaggerated that it doesn't represent anything that actually happened in reality. But you also wrote an op-ed piece, me and you co-authored one, arguing that what is tangible, which can be proven, is the election system is broken.
Absolutely. I mean, all the mechanisms that allow fraud are still in place. You know, the next election can be defrauded, and new mechanisms are being put in place that'll make the next election even easier to hack. The 2014 midterm election will be a fraudster's paradise, in my opinion.
Well, again, what seems to be being pushed now is smartphone voting and internet voting. Isn't that the high-tech solution to higher voter turnout?
No. People expecting that their vote will be counted and that politicians will be actually responsive to their real and not manufactured needs and desires is what gets citizen participation. I mean, you can get more people to vote for American Idol because they can vote online, but that doesn't make for meaningful participation and will create a greater sense of disengagement. Further, you know, having the whole internet be the black box that you vote in is just, let me count the ways that I could steal votes with that. You have no guarantee. I like the idea of if we're going to do this election thing, when we're, my high-tech solution is for people to write their choices on a piece of paper, put the piece of paper in an envelope, put the envelope in a glass box, and then when all the envelopes are in the glass box and the time's up, we dump those on the table, open the envelopes, and count the votes in front of everybody.
Won't that take too long?
I can count to 1,000 pretty fast, and so can most people.
Now, part of your argument argues that if it really was anonymous, they wouldn't have been bragging about these illegal hacks. They would have, you know, taken credit and gone out of their way instead of, you know, saying, hey, look what we did, look what we did, look what we did.
Oh, no, they'll take credit. When anonymous tools you, they tool you. But when they tool you, their claims are technically accurate. They explain how they did it. You know, when, for instance, when they hacked HB Gary, you know, they called the guy, you know, they called the system administrator right out, you know, and said, did you really just give me your system password over the telephone? Or actually it was in an open email. You know, they very explicitly laid out step by step exactly what they did to you to make you look stupid in public. Having incomprehensible and unprovable claims is not something that anonymous does.
So if it was anonymous, we would have known exactly how they hacked it. It would have been easily verifiable. Is that what you're arguing?
Maybe not, because, you know, why would somebody confirm, yes, anonymous caught me doing something illegal, and so, yeah. I mean, like, on the other end, the victimized party would have to admit to illegal conduct, but, you know, anonymous is in a position, or whoever did it is in a position to send people to prison for this rather than just get egg on their face through a letter to a single, not very well-read website.
Again, I'm talking with Jerry Bellow, who's got a new piece on Op-Ed News, and the name of it is?
Anonymous had no impact on the presidential election.
But what about the protectors?
They were in an airplane with Amelia Earhart and Jim Morrison.
What about the Avengers?
I think there's another movie coming out in the fall.
What about the Justice League of America?
I don't think DC's really gotten their franchise, their movie franchise going.
What about the Sons of Anarchy?
I haven't seen season 5 yet.
And what about the Fantastic Four?
What about the Marvel had better franchises?
All right. Well, there is the word from Jerry Bellow. Check out his article on Op-Ed News. This is Dr. Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news. Thanks for being part of the discussion, Jerry Bellow.
Always happy to be here, Bob.
All right.
And who's lurking outside that door? The Phantom.